Well, today we're starting a new sermon series. We're starting a series called Getting Past Your Past. We're going to take time to look over the next 4 weeks at some different things that I think are important to moving past the things that keep us trapped in yesterday. And there'll be lots of ways to look at that, but we're picking out four of them. But this week we're going to look at dealing with the labels that bind us in our lives. And then we're going to spend some time looking at forgiveness, and then we're going to also spend some time looking at what does it mean to keep moving and keep going in our life journeys. But today we're going to start by talking about labels, and the guide to our conversation from the scriptures is going to be out of Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16, 13 through 20. I'll give folks a few moments to turn there if they haven't already. If you wanted to read along with me, make sure I'm actually reading out of the Bible. There are Bibles in the seats around you. If you don't see one right off, just ask somebody down along the way. If you don't have a Bible or you need a Bible, take one of the ones with you. We've got more. We can put them out there. We want to make sure you have the scriptures. Again, Matthew 16, 13 through 20 is where we're going to be working from. And here are the words of the scriptures. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. There's a lot in that passage to unpack. There's a lot that we can teach from it and look at and all those things. I mean, right down to the last sentence where Jesus says, "Shh, don't tell anybody." Well, we know that they didn't listen to that because we know the story today of who Jesus is. And even later on, Jesus says, "You know what I told you not to tell people?" Okay, that was past. Now it's time to tell people and all those kinds of things. But we have this account of Jesus interacting with Simon, son of Jonah. And I'm going to invite you to kind of stick your finger into that spot because we're going to come back to that. But we're going to start off talking about labels. You know, we label everything. I think in the office, I think we have two labelers. Like we can type into the keypad and push print, and it'll print out, and we can stick that label to things. In fact, a few weeks ago, like three or four folks went through the closet over in the fellowship hall, and they cleaned it all out, and then they put it away. They put labels on everything so that at least for a couple months, we'll know what's in those bins. Because you ever notice that? Because you never put things back where they're labeled. You just kind of put them back where there's a spot. But you know, the same thing happens in our lives. I'm sure some of you can still even remember it. The words still ring in your heart and your mind. The label that somebody handed off to you, maybe at a very early age. They went and they assigned this attribute. They assigned this quality to you. They gave you a label. And one of the interesting things to me, we tend to remember the negative labels. But the ones that we think are positive, those somehow get forgotten. The ones that when we get given that label, we kind of sit up a little bit more straight. We feel a little bit better about ourselves. Life seems to be better. We don't remember those nearly as long as the negative labels. But we have labels. We all carry these labels. And we live in a world that's more than happy to assign additional labels. And I think it's really interesting that we get given a label and we assume we have to put it on. But the funny thing about it is we can be given a label and choose to leave it on the table. That tends to be what we do with the positive ones. But those negative labels, we pick them up and we put them right on it, and they begin to grab hold of our lives, and they begin to have us live in certain ways. In fact, we live up to that label. I'm thinking of my friend Todd. Todd's a young man that most of his life people were telling him that he's a screw-up. He's the classic goofball. He's the one who was always the first to put in a joke or take a really serious situation and crack the inappropriate joke at the inappropriate time. And everybody gave him the label that he was going to always be this immature screw-up. Funny thing happened for Todd. Todd took that label and he put it right on his chest and he lived into that label. And then there was this one day where I pulled him aside because I had the privilege of mentoring and journeying with him for a couple years. And I said, you know, you don't have to live to that label. You don't have to do that. And it was the first time anybody had ever given him another option of a label. I wonder this morning if you've already started thinking about the labels that you carry, the descriptions that people have given you. Those titles, those names, those attributes that somebody gave to you, maybe it was 20, 30, we'll stop there, years ago, that still you carry today. And that label has trapped you in that place and time. I really thought about this week, a guy named Ken Davis. Ken is a Christian comedian. He's hilarious. If you get a chance to go see Ken Davis, do it. In fact, in June, when there's the one-day women's thing up in Syracuse, he's one of the speakers. He's worth going for alone. But see, Ken will tell these jokes, and you'll be crying because you're laughing, and then he'll turn the corner, and he'll tell a story, and you'll be crying because you're weeping. And I was at one of his concerts, and he was going around doing the jokes, and we were all laughing, and he says, can I get serious with you for a moment? And he started telling his story about his childhood and the fact that at the age of 7, when he was a comedian even then, cracking jokes, doing all this, his father pulled him aside and looked at him and said, if you keep doing this with your life, you will be worthless. Could you imagine at the age of 7, your father, as a young man, the one person in the world who carries the ability to communicate hope and pride to you, looks at you and says, you are worthless. That label would just ring in Ken Davis's life. I've read a couple of his books, and he talks about it in great depth, how through most of his young adult life and really into his 30s and 40s, how he just was haunted, and he was driven to prove his dad wrong, that he wouldn't be worthless, but he always felt worthless. A simple little label. Well, Jesus is interested in labels. In fact, Jesus cares deeply about labels. And when I first thought about this week, I was like, really? Because Jesus seems like to be the kind of guy that says, you don't have any labels. I mean, isn't that the passage? There is no Jew, no Greek, no slave, no free, no male, no female. Or as we're now used to saying, the 10 of us that went, no Colombiano, no Norte Americano. No Colombian, no North American. We're all one in Christ. Yet I think Jesus is interested in labels. How do I know this? I read the scripture. We just read it together. I read it out loud. And really, Jesus is, he's doing something that he does in no other place in his ministry. Jesus does a public opinion poll. As I've read through the Gospels, this is the only time that Jesus wants to know what other people think. But he sits down with the disciples and he says, hey, what label do the other people give me? Now, that's a little bit of translation freedom there. He doesn't say label. He says, you know, what are other people saying about me? Who do they say that I am? But essentially, that's what he's asking. He's saying, what label have other people given to me? And as he looks at that label, he starts to hear the answers from folks. And as he's listening to those answers, he hears things like, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets, or Elijah, all kinds of things. Just reading the text messages from you here. It says, Columbia has a label, and has, as the mission team found out, it wasn't true. Remember when they said one bad apple ruins the bunch, but that in truth, there are many good people in Columbia, not just drug people. Absolutely. Labels get believed by not just us, but by other people. And just so you know, the people in Columbia, they gave us labels before we got there. And they weren't very pleasing. People who didn't care about them. People who thought they were worthless. That's the labels they gave to us before we even set foot. I like to think they have a little bit different label now. See, that's both of them. Okay. So we have these labels that Jesus is finding out. How do people label me? How do people see me? And he gets the answers. Now, you know, we hear John the Baptist and we think, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. They're saying that he's a dead guy. Because by this point of the story, John the Baptist has already been killed by Herod. And so they're saying, like, you remind us of a dead guy. In fact, if you look at the list, they're all dead guys. They're all dead people. People that have gone ahead, they did really great works for God, but they died. And they say to Jesus, we think you're a really great prophet. Or the people are saying, you're a really great prophet, but you're going to die. And then Jesus turns the tables. This is one of my favorite ways that Jesus does this. He says, okay, I've done the public opinion poll. I've heard what other people think. So what? Who do you say that I am? What label do you give me? That question haunts me. I can look around and see the world today and see what they say about Jesus, and not all of it's flattering. In fact, very little of it's flattering in the United States. Interesting, if you travel outside of these parts, you see the name of Jesus praised everywhere. I mean, we saw taxi cabs that, you know, like on their bumper that they're about to hit you with. You know, it said, Jesus loves you. You know, I'm going to rear-end you in the name of Jesus. But you don't see a lot of negative things about it. But, you know, in our world, we see all these negative labels and all that, but Jesus says, that's fine. People can label me whatever they want, but what's the label you assign? And Simon, the NIV calls him Simon Peter. Other translations just say Simon. Simon steps to the plate because it's his thing. It's what he does. You find often that Simon speaks first and regrets it later. But, I mean, he's ready to go, and he jumps right in. He says, but Jesus, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the one that we've been waiting for. And Jesus looks at him and says, you hit it out of the park. You got it right. You're absolutely right. And you don't know this because some other human being has told you. You know this because my Father in heaven has told you. He says, Simon, son of Jonah, you are now Peter. The original language there is Kepha or Petrus, rock. And now just think, Peter has had some labels in his day. He was a fisherman. A fisherman. And we think, okay, no big deal. He's a fisherman. Well, in Jesus' day, to be a fisherman, it means you failed at some other things along the way. It wasn't one of those prized professions to get into. People didn't go, you know, I hope someday I get to be a fisherman. I mean, fishermen were people that you knew when they walked in the room because you smelled them first. When you twice a day for all of your life spend time around nets full of fish and gutting fish and preparing fish for market, it tends to seep into your very pores of your skin. So all that you smell, I mean, just talk to people that work at Doug's. Just so you know, we all know when you come in the room. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, fish has that way of sticking with you. And you just can't seem to get rid of it. But in that day, that came with all kinds of negative labels. I'm sure that Simon, the son of Jonah, had spent most of his life hearing things like, you're just a lowly fisherman. You're never going to measure up. You're going to be worthless. You're going to be that. You're going to be this. And then Jesus turns around and says, I'm giving you a new label. You no longer are Simon, son of Jonah. You are Peter. You are the rock. And on you, I will build my church. There's a drastic change of labels. He's given this new label. Now, interestingly enough, later on in the story, you know, after Peter denies Jesus three times and Jesus comes to him in the Gospel of John, and how does he address him? He calls him Simon, son of Jonah. Do you love me? And after the third time where he says, well, of course I love you, then he calls him Peter again. The label is changed. The name is changed. His whole outlook changes. He is no longer this fisherman who will never measure up. He is the foundation of the church of Jesus Christ. That's a good label. He hears that change. And I thought about those two questions and the new label for Peter, and I thought about, what's that mean for us today? How does that work in our lives today? And I think the two questions are the questions that we have to work with, but I think we need to turn the tables on them a little bit. Rather than Jesus asking us these questions, what if we asked Jesus those questions? What if we kind of leaned into Jesus and said, Jesus, what do other people say about me? What other labels do people give me? And you might be thinking, well, that's kind of a strange thing to ask Jesus, because I know the labels given to me really well. And I think it's important to ask Jesus, because then we'll know that he knows. You know that time that person called you worthless? Jesus was there and he knows. That time that somebody treated you in a way that gives you the label of abused? Jesus was there and he knows. He's not unaware of the labels that we have. And so when we ask the question, Jesus, what do other people say about us? What labels do they give us? He responds back to us because he knows. He's there. He's not unaware of the struggle that we go through. But then the second question, and I got to warn you, if you ask this question and really listen for the answer, it could shake the foundation of who you are. But we need to ask Jesus, who do you say that I am? What label do you give to me, Jesus? Because Jesus sees us differently than the rest of the world. Jesus sees us differently than the world around us. Jesus turns and he says to you, the label that I give to you is beloved child of God. The label that I give to you is redeemed by love and grace. Not all those other labels that people have assigned, but a brand new label that says, this one is one of mine. Loved without end. Full of hope and promise. Immeasurable value. That's the label that we're given. It's a new label. It's true. It's pure. We no longer have to live into the labels assigned to us. We get a new label. Well, to think about this, how this operates in our world today and now. I was thinking about the folks in the southern tier, the folks that went through the flooding this last fall. And it's easy to think about those folks and think, boy, those are some pretty tough situations. Those poor victims of the flood. Did you hear that label? Those poor victims of the flood. Some people have been labeled victims, and now there are some people down there who have taken that label of victim and slapped it on and said, oh, poor me, I'm a victim. But most of the people have said, no, we're not victims. We're survivors. That's a totally different label. But we're survivors of the flood. And I think that's one of the labels that we're given. No matter what we go through in life, maybe we've been abused by someone else, whether it be physically, sexually, emotionally, any of that kind of stuff. Maybe somebody has done something to us, and we've picked up that label that says, I'm a victim of this abuse. Jesus says, no, you're not. You're a survivor of that abuse. We may have this long list of things that says, well, this and this and this. These are the labels. And Jesus says, no, you're a survivor of those things. That's your label. And I don't want to make little of any of the struggles that people have gone through. I don't want to make little of any kind of abuse or any of that things that people suffered the hands of. But I think the reason we have the label of survivor is because God takes those things that are not meant to be and turns them into training opportunities. I'm very fond of saying all the life that we've lived to this point, whether good, bad, or indifferent, has been training for what God is going to call us to tomorrow. And that's the mindset of someone whose label says survivor. This whole series is about dealing with the things of our past. Taking care of the things of the past so that we can live into the glorious future to which God is calling us. And it begins with exchanging our labels, taking the labels that were given to us that bind us, that have held us captive for years, and turning them in for the one that says, I am a child of God, and I am a survivor of all the junk that has happened before this. If we don't do that, our past will always hold us there. Am I clear enough with that? That if we don't take care of the labels that we've been given and tear them off and exchange them for the ones that Jesus is offering to us, we will never experience a different future. We will always be trapped in our past. And I'll warn you, taking the old labels off, they can hurt. And it hurts more the longer the label has been there. It's kind of like that Band-Aid. You know, the Band-Aid that's on there, you know you got to take it off at some point, but you know it's going to hurt when you do it. And, you know, everybody always says, well, just do it quick. It hurts less like that. No, that's a lie. It still hurts. And if it's been on there a really long time, it hurts even more. And so I don't want to make it sound like it's easy to just say, okay, I'm no longer going to let that label control me anymore. I'm done today. If that's your choice, live that. Just know that taking off some of the labels will hurt. It will cause pain. It'll cause some disorientation. Because if you say you've been living your whole life with this label and you take that label off, you no longer know how to define yourself. But the good news is we do know how to define ourselves. Jesus offers us the label that says, beloved child of God, survivor of life. And we can receive that label and have new life. That's the journey that helps us get past our past. That's the journey that helps us move towards the glorious future that God is calling us to. I don't think God calls us to be miserable. And a lot of times I think we live miserable because of things in our past. We have to get past them. And it begins by changing the labels and receiving the label that Jesus offers to us. It begins when we decide, you know what? Healing comes from Jesus alone. It comes from when we answer the question, who do you say that Jesus is? If we decide that Jesus is the forgiver, redeemer, restorer of life, if Jesus is the one who gives us the only true and accurate label, if Jesus is the very love of God offered by God's grace for us, and we choose that label, new life begins. So today, that's my invitation. Will you choose that life? Will you choose to exchange the labels? Will you choose to let Jesus Christ into your life? Will you choose to accept the forgiveness, the hope, and the grace? Will you put on the label of a beloved child of God who is redeemed by the grace of God, who can live for the future and hope in God? Let's pray together. Lord, changing labels is not easy. In fact, Lord, I know that it's going to hurt. And that's going to make us not want to do it. Lord, give us the courage and the strength to tear off the old labels that hold us back. To know that many of the labels are just not true. That we have matchless value because of you. The things of our past, while not erasable, are not what define us. Lord Jesus, help us to come face to face with you right now. And ask you the question, who do you say that we are? And help us to wrestle with the question from you. Who do we say that you are, Jesus? And Lord, today we make a declaration that that you are the forgiver, the redeemer of life, that you are the one who offers us hope, that offers us a clean start, that you give us the label of a beloved child of God. So Lord, I pray right now for anybody who's making a decision to exchange those labels. I pray for those in the room right now who are making that courageous choice to stake their claim with you. Lord, if there are folks that are making that decision for the very first time today, I pray that you would give them the assurance and hope of your steadfast love, and that your label changes everything. Let's pray together these words. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, that I might have new life. Jesus, I recognize that you died for me, that you gave me a new label, and I receive that label today. Lord, thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.